the salvation, the life, the victory that the Lord gives does not come through your determination. It comes through illumination. When the light of Christ shines unto you. I want to go back to Isaiah, the sixth chapter. Isaiah, we call him the Messianic prophet. He saw Christ and the sufferings of Christ 700 years before Jesus was born. And he actually saw it clearer than those that stood there, that walked with him in ministry, saw it clearer than those that stood in Pilate's judgment hall, saw it clearer than even the disciples that stood afar off and saw the nails driven in his hand and the spear thrust in his side. 700 years before that, Isaiah saw it clearer than they did. You say, how can you say that? It wasn't until after the resurrection. And that when Jesus even appeared to his disciples, he had to upbraid them for their unbelief and hardness of heart and had to open their understanding so that they could see. Because even though they could see the physical things that were going on, they couldn't see what was happening. They couldn't see like Isaiah, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. See, this is someone writing 700 years before. And they saw Jesus' flesh being torn from his body, and they didn't understand. They couldn't see it. But Isaiah saw it. He said, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Surely we like sheep have gone astray, and everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And Isaiah saw clearly what was happening that day, or what would happen 700 years later. Well, this is, in a sense, I believe, Isaiah's introduction to that. Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And I want to tell you about the Lord that he's speaking of here. He's not, as I heard Brother Surface in Sunday school speaking about the Father, the God of the Old Testament. He's talking about David's Lord. High. He saw something that later, and I want you to grasp this, David's Lord, the Christ who was God with God, but made flesh. The Apostle Paul would later write, because Christ humbled himself, became obedient to the death of the cross, that God would highly exalt him and give him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. This is what Isaiah is seeing. Believe that with all my heart. That he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, and this is Isaiah speaking, Woe is me, for I am undone. But hold, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Have you ever been there? Are you there? Have you ever felt that? Come to that knowledge, that understanding? Isaiah did when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I want you to see the effect that seeing Christ, that seeing the Lord exalted, had upon Isaiah. When he saw the Lord lifted up, high and lifted up, then he cried, Woe is me, I'm undone. I don't know what Isaiah thought about himself until this moment. But when he saw the Lord, it also revealed to him his own estate, his own condition. I want to tell you that happens every time a person sees Christ. They see the Lord. It reveals to them their own condition, the condition of their own estate, of their own heart, of their own life. They may have been religious for decades, and they may have presented themselves, perceived themselves to be something spiritual. But if they ever see the Lord, that's going to be wiped away. And he said, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I want you to tell something that Isaiah is seeing. He's seeing a day when the Lord is exalted. Yet, in that day, there's an altar. And there's an altar. And I want you to tell you, and he will tell us later about that altar and the things that he would see. But it was an altar of sacrifice. It wasn't a natural lamb, a goat, a bullock offered upon that altar. It was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It was Christ our Savior offered upon that altar. And Isaiah was seeing this. And the coal from that altar touching his lip did what? He said, thine iniquity is what? Taken away. See, he was seeing something beforehand of an altar, of a sacrifice that would take away the sin of the world. And so he sees this. And thy iniquity is purged. And it's over 700 years later, the Apostle Paul would write, when he has by himself purged our sins. And on that altar of sacrifice, he sat down at the right hand of glory. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he's hearing the Lord speak this. Then said I, here I am, send me. And he said, and this was the instructions to Isaiah, go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not. See you indeed, but perceive not. Now, Isaiah's was a hopeless mission. Because he, beginning here and beginning to unfold throughout his ministry, he would see the glories of Christ so plain and so clear. But he was sent to tell what he saw, to preach it to that nation, and the more he preached, the less they would see. And as he preached the glories of Christ, he preached the suffering Messiah, he preached him offering himself, he preached his visage marred more than any man, he preached the glory that would follow. The more he preached, the blinder the people became. And there was no illumination for them. Nothing in the gospel that he preached changed them into the same image. Because his mission was, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest, because God says, if this happens, if what happens? If they see with their eyes, if they hear with their ears, if they understand with their heart and convert and be healed. And Jesus is going to tell us how they would be healed later. He'll quote this and he would say, and I would heal them. If what? If they would see with their eyes, if they would understand with their heart, they would convert. And that's the assurance we have in preaching the gospel, when he told us to preach it to every creature. And not everyone sees it, not everyone hears it. But I have this confidence, it doesn't matter how hard they are, It doesn't matter how evil they seem to be. If they could see it, if they could hear it, if they could understand it in their heart, they would convert. God says, I would heal them. And they would be transformed if they see it, if they hear it, if they understand it. They will convert. And so there's something that's missing from a lost soul to the point that though they may have heard gospel preaching, but they've never seen and heard and understood. It's never shown into their hearts. Because if they're ever shown into their heart, they would be crying with you, with me. And as the songwriter put so many years ago, hallelujah, I have found Him whom my soul so long has craved. And they would see and they would know that Jesus Christ is He whom their soul has craved. Even though they be one that has fought Him with everything that was within them. And this was Isaiah's mission. You go preach this gospel. Because Isaiah saw the gospel. But he preached it to a people that had hardened their heart so long that God said, I'm going to harden it now. And they're not going to see. And they're not going to hear. And they're not going to convert. And they are going to be destroyed. And that sounds hard. But God had pled with that people for generation after generation after generation. And He said, you would have none of Me. Well, I want to go forward to the Apostle Paul in Acts, the 26th chapter. Start reading at the 13th verse. The Apostle Paul is given witness. He's been arrested at his final trip to Jerusalem. He's imprisoned. He will be sent to Rome and eventually executed. But he's given his witness before King Agrippa. He's telling the story of his conversion. Scripture says, if we'd read earlier, he said he was exceeding mad against the church. Were you ever mad against God? I was. I couldn't even explain why, but I was. Mad against the church. Mad against the Lord. Angry at God. And didn't even know why. And yet he was exceeding mad. And to the point that he would drag believers from their homes, have them imprisoned, have them put to death. He would chase them from city to city. You say, well, I'm just going to leave the city where Saul of Tarsus is and I'm going to another city. Well, he would chase them from city to city. It wasn't enough that you just didn't spread it in this town. The fact that you existed, or that a believer existed, made him mad, made him angry. Well, he had gotten letters, made it all, it's all legal. He's got letters to go to Damascus and find anyone that believes upon Jesus, that preaches Christ. And he's got permission to put them in chains and bring them back to Jerusalem for trial, for execution. And he says this in the 13th verse, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he's saying, Saul, you're fighting something that it's hard for you to fight. And I want to tell you, that's the way it is when the gospel begins to speak to someone and they begin to fight it. You're fighting something that's hard for you to fight. You're fighting something, he said, it's hard to kick against the pricks that hurts you every time you kick against it. And that wounds your soul every time you lash out at it. And yet he's compelled to. And he's fighting and he's kicking and he's doing war against the name of the Lord. But Jesus said, Saul, Saul, he said, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. But arise. And this is Jesus. I want you to see this. This so parallels what happened with Isaiah. Isaiah wasn't a persecutor. All that Paul describes was a light that he saw. But he saw the great light, was struck to the ground, heard the voice of the Lord. And if you read it, when it happened, Saul would say, what would you have me do, Lord? What would you have me do? And in the prophecy we read of Isaiah, Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord. His iniquity was purged. Do you know it doesn't take God a lifetime to purge your iniquity? It doesn't take Him years. It doesn't take Him months. It doesn't take Him weeks. Isaiah, the moment the coal from the altar touched his lips, the voice said, your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. And here's Saul of Tarsus, a man raging out hatred against the Lord that it grips his very soul. And when he sees that it's Jesus and surrenders to Him, his next words are, what would you have me do, Lord? His iniquity was purged. His sin was taken away. You see, someone says, but you see, my sin was in the nightclub. No, your sin wasn't in the nightclub. My sin, was in the secret place where I did things. No, that's not where your sin was. Your sin was the same place as Saul of Tarsus's was. It was in his heart. It was in his heart, the hatred that gripped his very soul. That's where sin always lies. And that's where Christ always, always takes it away. And he says, your iniquity is purged. He said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. Jesus said, and Saul said, what would you have me to do? And in the 15th verse, I'm Jesus whom you persecute, but arise and stand on your feet. For I've appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and those things in which I will appear unto you. I'm going to say something. I say it often. I don't know if everyone believes me yet. But if you're a child of God, I believe God saved you for a work. That work may never be standing before a pulpit. But I believe that God saved you for a work. I believe that with all my heart. And He wants you to embrace it. Amen. I believe there are Christian people that know the Lord that have put the work of the Lord aside all their lives. All their lives. They've run my course, and they haven't even begun the course. Run the course. And you may never be called a preacher. You may never be called an evangelist. You may never be called a missionary. But I believe the Lord saved you for a work. I believe He would make you a minister of Christ. That whether it's in the home, on the job, on the streets, near and far, that you would have something to give to those that sit in darkness. And what you would have to give would be Christ. He told Paul, he said, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things that you have seen. He's already seen some things. He's seen enough to make him mad. He's heard some things. He's already heard the gospel. He's heard enough to make him breathe out threatenings and slaughter against those who are speaking it. And he's heard things. He's seen things. And this day, he's seeing things. And he says, I want you to be a witness. I want you to be a witness, Saul of Tarsus, of that man Stephen and what he saw. I want you to be a witness to others of the glory of the Lord that was upon him when you were stoning him. I want you to be a witness of that. I want you to tell others about his last words, Saul of Tarsus, as y'all were railing against him and throwing stones, and he was saying, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Saul, I want you to go tell the whole world about that. I want you to let them know the reality of being a son or a daughter of God. And he says, you're going to see other things. And oh, did this man see other things. He received the revelation of Jesus Christ, a gospel that shook the world. And he said, I want you to tell them what you've seen. And I want to tell them the things I'll show unto you. He said, to make you a minister of both things you've seen and those things which I'll appear unto you, delivering you from the people and the Gentiles, unto whom now I send you. To do what? To open their eyes. Now I want to ask you something. If you had a gospel that would save everyone that believed it, that would transform everyone who saw it, would you want the ministry of closing their eyes or of opening their eyes? Amen. Saul had the greater blessing. He had the greater calling. I want to tell you, Isaiah would envy you. I want to tell you this again. Isaiah, that great prophet, would envy you because you, child of God, have been given something with the commission to open their eyes with it. Preach it and open their eyes. And he could preach it. He preached it all his days until, as at least Jewish history said, they stuffed him in a log and sawed the log in half. But he preached it. But he would come, Lord, who has believed our report? Because the more he preached it, the blinder they became. But he tells us, and he told Saul just the opposite. If you'll preach it, the eyes will be opened. It'll have the opposite effect. If you'll tell it, you said, no one wants to hear. No one will believe. So I'll just take it and bury it in the ground because I don't want to offend anyone and I don't want my feelings hurt. Well, it won't do anything buried. It won't do anything shut up. But if you'll tell it, it will open eyes. He said to turn them from darkness to light. It will turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. It's not my message, but that is the word atheist, which is freedom. An inheritance among them which are what? Sanctified by faith. If they'll believe it, they'll be sanctified. Do you know that people are made holy by faith? You say, what does that mean? That means I believe I'm holy, therefore I'm holy? No. That means the uncleanness drops off through simply believing the gospel of Christ. That's sanctified by faith. Not by a process, not by religious procedures and things you go through. That kind of holiness only endures for a night, but a holiness that comes by faith through receiving a new heart and a new spirit will carry you through every storm. That they might receive inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is in me. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I know this for me. I know this for Brother Surface. I know this for Sister Kathy. I know this for Brother James. I know this for Brother Marty. I know this for Sister Surface. I know this for Brother Pilla, Sister Pilla. I know this for Sister Charity. If the light of Christ has shown into you, you have a commission to give it. You have a commission to give it. Because it is the power. Only by giving it can you open eyes. Only by giving it can you turn them from darkness to light. It's the only way. You say, I'm just going to be a good Christian. I'm just going to live for the Lord. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm just going to make it to heaven. Well, you may. But it's sure going to be a lonely trip. What Paul says, what is my glory, my joy, my crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of the Lord in the day of Christ? Only by speaking it. Only by giving it. Only by sharing it. Only by singing it. Only by telling it. Only by declaring it. Can it open eyes? Jesus gave the parable of stewards that He left talents with. 1 10, 1 5, 1 2. How many feel like you're the one with 10 talents when you read that parable? How many feel like you're the one with 5 talents when you read that parable? And be honest with me, how many have felt like you're the one with 2? The one with 2. And another apostle tells it and it's 1. And you say, oh, well, I feel like I'm the one with 1. I want to tell you that everyone feels that way. I'm just me, and what can I do? And I don't have ability and all these things. But it's not about your ability. It's not your ability that opens eyes. It's not your ability that turns them from darkness to light. It's not your ability that will cause them to see, and when they see, be transformed into the image of the Christ that they see. It's not your ability. It's the light that He has given you. That one that just had 2, well, because I just got 2, I was afraid to mess it up. I'm afraid to mess up. I'm afraid to mess up. I don't like messing up. And oh, I do my share. My goodness, I do my share, folks. And sometimes when I'm trying to be funny, I mess up. And sometimes I'm trying to be serious and people just think I'm funny because I mess up being serious. And you're afraid to mess up, but you know what I'm more afraid of? Is standing before Him and He'll say, why did you bury it? Did you know that what I'd given you would open their eyes? Did you know what I've given you would turn them from darkness to light? Did you know what I'd given you would give them inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith that is in me? And that's the commission given to every child of God. To show them Christ through preaching the gospel. When I first came in the ministry, service after service, something so real. You know, does anyone know what I'm talking about? It wants to burst. It's like rays everywhere. And yet you don't have the words to give it. And I would tell people, close out a service, oh, if you could only see what I see. And I guess that's true. Because when you're seeing the Lord, if they see what you see, it's going to do for them what it's done for you. I'd close out service, oh, folks, if you could only see what I see. And the Lord rebuked me. And He took me to this passage of Scripture right here, where He says, I sent you to open their eyes. He said, I didn't send you to tell them if you can only see what I see. He said, I sent you to show them what you see. And that's why we preach the gospel of Christ. because I know when the Lord washed me and my iniquity was taken away. But I had to seek God for the words and the understanding in the Scripture to be able to preach it and say, this is what the Word of God says, that salvation is not just a big cover-up. I want to tell you that salvation is not a big cover-up. Salvation is not, let's close the door of the room so no one can see it. Salvation is your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. If any man or woman be in Christ, they are new creations. But to be able to preach it, to show it, so that someone that sat in darkness could see it, that I can be new, that this Christ, Jesus, makes all things new. And so that's our commission. To preach Christ as He is, the Apostle John said. Now, we just had a teen camp. And this probably not going to make any sense, but it's what's in my mind. And a lot of ministers, and Sister Charity, Sister Kathy, Sister, and Brother Tyler, ministering in services, telling about the glories of Christ. But you know, and I know you know this, when you tell someone about the glories of Christ, it's important that what you tell them is true. Because I'll tell you this, we went through a whole generation that it seemed like the one thing everybody wanted to tell people about Christ is He wanted you to be rich. I had a preacher, friend, man I love. He stood up and he preached and he said, no man forsaken houses or wives and land that will not have a hundredfold in this life and the life to come. And he said, it's not just spiritual things. God wants you to have a hundredfold. And I asked him, I said, brother, do you know anyone that has 100 houses? And forgive me, ladies, do you know anyone that would want 100 wives? He said, well, no. I said, then that can't be what that Scripture means. If it's true, at least there would be one. He was telling those apostles, wherever I send you, you're going to have a place to stay. Wherever I send you, and you're going to have a meal. Wherever I send you, you're going to have brothers and sisters and mothers. And wherever I send you. But we went through an entire generation that it seemed like what they wanted to tell people about Jesus and come, He will make you rich. It's not true. And it can transform no one because it's not the glory of Christ. Well, I was thinking about the teen camp. Now, the girls, we wouldn't worry about. We worry about the boys. If someone came to one of those teen services and says, you know, you believe in Jesus Christ. He died and He finished the work. And by His stripes you're healed. And He did such a work. He did this for you that if you believe up on Him, you'll never have to brush your teeth again. You might get a 10-year-old converted. Or how about an 8-year-old boy that you never have to take a bath again? You won't ever need it. Mom, I think I'm becoming a Christian. But it's not true. And that's why we go to the Scripture. That's why we preach the Word of God. Because when I tell you that we're sanctified by faith, it's the Scripture that says it. When I tell you He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, it's the Scripture that says it. When I tell you that He purges the conscience, it's the Scripture that says it. When I tell you that anyone that's in Christ is a new creature, it's the Word of God that says it. It's true. And it's the light that will shine if we preach it. And it will open eyes. It will turn those who see it from darkness to light. It will give them inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith. What are you saying? They'll be sanctified by faith also. I've got one more passage of Scripture. Matthew, the 13th chapter. What we've preached so far is the reason that I, that you, this church, these ministers, understand that this is what the Scripture calls the ministry of spirit. You understand? In preaching the gospel and doing that, we minister spirit. And so we don't do it carnally. We don't just get things in our head and think we can just spit them out and it's going to change anything. But we seek God. Paul said, we have this ministry, but the sufficiency is not of ourselves. We seek God for His Spirit and presence and to speak through us, to touch through us, to reach out, to share. Well, it doesn't matter how God uses you. Seek God for that effectual ministry. But I want to close out this morning and talk a little bit about the one that hears. Because I can't think of a more glorious calling than to receive something that if you'll tell it, it'll open their eyes. It will turn them from darkness. It will give them inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith. But Jesus spoke, Matthew 13:13. Let's go back to the 10th verse. His disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why did Jesus use parables? We think, so everything be real simple, that they would understand it all. Did you know that's not the reason? He answered, he said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to them it is not given. For whomsoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more in abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they see and see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. The reason he spoke in parables is he'd give them a parable, no one understood it, and so the disciples would come and say, what does a parable mean? You would know what the parable of the sower, you have any idea what it meant if he didn't tell us what it meant, that the seed is the word of God. You see, because we live in a day that they think seed is money. We do. They think the seed is the money. No, Jesus said the seed is the word of God. If he didn't give us the meaning, you wouldn't have any idea what he was saying. And so he'd speak in parables to the Pharisees, and then he would tell his disciples what it meant. And it would be so simple, they would understand it. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by seeing you shall, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. Now, I want you to see something here that's different than what God told Isaiah. He told Isaiah, you go close their eyes. God does not send us to close the eyes of the people. He didn't send me this morning to close your eyes. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. He's not sent anyone to close your eyes. When He sends whether a gospel preacher, it could be a friend, a witness, and someone from afar, someone near to you with the gospel of Christ, the love of Christ. If you're sitting in darkness, it's to open your eyes.
and to turn you from darkness to light.
So the reason He gives for these, their blindness, is their eyes they have closed. And I want to tell you this, and whoever it is, be it one, be it many, is when the gospel of Christ, that light from heaven, begins to reach down to you, the only one that can stop it is you. There's not enough devils in hell. To stop it from shining in. And bring in a complete transformation. I want you to hear me. You say, what about the person that's been blind all their life to the things of God? I've got something that will open their eyes. You say, that's boastful. That's boastful in what God has given. He's given us, He's given His church that which will open their eyes. And it's for me to seek God, to be an instrument of His Spirit. And by the Holy Ghost, speak what He tells me to speak. And if I will do that, if you will do that, there's not enough devils in hell or on earth to stop the light. The only thing that can stop it is if they, and if they is you, I will say you, close their eyes. And Jesus said, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. He tells us, declare it. Grandmas, tell your grandchildren. Well, I don't want my grandchildren to be uncomfortable. Well, don't you want them to be comfortable in the presence of God? Tell your grandchildren. Tell your neighbor. Tell the one you think hates you. You say, but the hatred's too great. No. Because you have something that opens the eyes. What a calling. What a calling for the children of God. And if you're one still sitting in darkness this morning, saying, what do I do? Just don't close your eyes. See, I used to tell people, open your eyes. So. And then how? Oh, just don't close them. We'll preach the gospel. Just don't close them. And if you don't, there'll be an hour that the floodgates are going to give way. The blinders are going to fall. And the illumination from heaven will burst through. And you shall be changed.